Turn with me to the book of Romans in the New Testament, to chapter 6 and verse 23. Romans 6 and verse 23. If you've not brought your Bible with you today, why don't you reach right in front of you, get one of those black pew Bibles, and turn with us to page number 1299. Page number 1299 in the pew Bible. The 23rd verse of the 6th chapter of Romans is the last verse in that chapter. And I wanted to begin our time today by just looking at that verse, Romans 6, verse 23. Still hear pages turning, so I want to wait till you get there. God bless you for not taking my word for it, but taking God's word for it. All right, Romans 6, 23. For the wages of sin is death. Let's just stop right there for a moment. We know what wages are. Those of us who work, it is the pay you get for a certain period of work. Spiritually speaking, God is saying through Paul here that the pay for sin is death. And that's not talking about physical death. That's talking about eternal death and separation from Christ in a place called hell. And wages are what you have earned to give you that place called hell for eternity. You know, some of us have good works, some of us have bad works. And there's payment for all those things, but when it comes down to the final analysis of it, the payment for all our good works and bad works together is death, because we cannot work our way to heaven. You might remember a few Sundays ago we looked at that in the book of Revelation, where we looked at all the books that contain all of our personal works, good and bad. And before the great white throne judgment, God calls for the books to be brought out on Jimmy Dale Patterson. There's all my bad works and all my good works. And then he calls for another book, the book of life. And if my name has been written by his nail-scarred hand in the book of life, because I have trusted him by faith, then God pushes the books aside. All my works, good and bad. And he judges me according to what's written in the book of life. So the wages of sin, all these works, good and bad, is death. Now look at the rest of that verse. But the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. Think how different that word gift is from wages. Wages are what I work for. They are what I deserve. A gift has been given to me, not because I worked for it, but because someone loves me. And in this case, it's no less than the Lord God Himself. He gifts us with His love. We could never work our way to heaven. And because we have trusted in Him as our Lord and Savior, we have as a gift eternal life. Eternal life, what an important expression. It makes me want you to take now your booklet, your track. It begins with an important question using that terminology, eternal life. Do you see it? Read it out loud with me, would you? Do you know for certain that you have eternal life and that you will go to heaven when you die? Several key words there. Do you know? Not do you hope, not do you wish, not do you surmise, but do you know beyond a shadow of a doubt? Do you know for certain that you have eternal life? Well, if you don't, before today is over, you will. And do you know for certain that you will go to heaven when you die? If you don't know that for sure, you can know it today as we work through this booklet. This tract was written a few years ago by our own church member, Dr. Howard Ramsey. He led in the writing of this tract when he was personal evangelism director for what was then the Southern Baptist Home Mission Board. It is now the North American Mission Board, and there are no telling how many people who've come to faith in Christ through this simple little presentation of the gospel. Dr. Ramsey wrote this book so that you would know how to answer that question. And so, turn the page. God wants you to be sure. The Bible says, I write these things. What are these things? Well, John is the human author of this verse. And the Holy Spirit is the author of Scripture. And so John is saying, I, by the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, have written this Scripture, the Bible. The Bible has been written to those of you who believe in the present tense. Believe. Not, I believed that way when I was in vacation Bible school when I was a youngster. Or I believed that way when I went to a summer camp. Or I believed that way when I was a teenager. No, do you presently believe? So again, reading 1 John 5:13. I write these things, this scripture, to you who believe in the present tense, in the name of the Son of God, so that you may know. There's that word again, a word of certainty. He doesn't say hope, wish, or guess. He says so that you may know beyond a shadow of a doubt that you have eternal life. You can know that today before you leave this worship service. Now, there's another important question we need to consider. And that question is, consider, suppose you were standing before God right now and He asked you, why should I let you into my heaven? What do you think you would say? I've asked that question of countless numbers of people and have gotten all kinds of different responses. Some people have said, you know, I've tried to live a good life. And they thought based on that and that alone that God would let them into His heaven. Some people have said, I've been honest. I've not stolen. I've always told the truth. I've always tried to help people. But all those good things, as wonderful as they are, will not allow you access into heaven. Only one thing can get you into heaven. And let's turn to the next page. You may not know what you would say to that exploratory question, but you can know because God loves you and has a purpose for your life. The Bible states it this way in John 3:16. For God so loved the world that He gave His one and only Son, that whoever believes in Him should not perish, but have, here's that term again, eternal life. Turn the page. Four major points in this tract. The first one is this: God's purpose is that we have eternal life. God has a purpose for each one of you. God has a plan for each one of you. God has a will for each one of you. And it is that you have eternal life. Going on that page, it says, we receive eternal life as a free gift. And quoting again from that verse that I started out with in Romans 6:23, the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. We can live full and meaningful life right now. Jesus said in John 10:10, I have come that they may have life and that they may have it to the full. Next page. We will spend eternity with Jesus in heaven. In John 14:3, Jesus said, I go to prepare a place for you. I will come back and take you to be with me, that where you also may be where I am. Eternal life gives meaning to life, yet our sinful nature keeps us from fulfilling God's purpose for our lives. Thus, turn the page. We've already seen God's purpose for our lives. He wants us to have eternal life. But we've got a problem. And it's stated here on this page. Our need is understanding our problem. Every one of us has this same problem. We are all sinners by nature and choice. Romans 3:23 says, all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. We cannot save ourselves. Ephesians 2:9 says that our salvation is not by works, so that no one can boast. Look at the next page for the third thing that we need to understand about our problem. We deserve death and hell. And again, that verse that I started out with this morning, the wages of sin is death. It is true that God is holy and just and must punish sin, yet He loves us and has provided forgiveness for our sin. Jesus said in John 14:6, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. The good news is that God has provided for the forgiveness of our sins. Turn the page. We've talked about God's purpose for our life, that is that we have eternal life, the need that all of us have, and that is that we are sinners. Now look at God's wonderful provision in Jesus Christ. Number one, Jesus is God and became man. John 1 says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The Word became flesh and made His dwelling among us. Number two, Jesus died for us on the cross. The Bible says in 1 Peter 3:18, for Christ died for our sins once for all, the righteous for the unrighteous, to bring you to God. He was put to death in the body, but made alive by the Spirit. Next page. Third thing about God's provision through Jesus Christ. And that is, Jesus was resurrected from the dead. The Bible says in Romans 4:25, He, Jesus, was delivered over to death for our sins and was raised to life for our justification. That is good news. Friend, that is the most wonderful news that you will ever hear in your life. But the only way Jesus can affect our lives is for us to receive Him. The Bible says, yet to all who received Him, that's Jesus, to those who believed in His name, He gave the right to become the children of God. John 1:12. You see, the choice is ours. Thus, turn the page. We've seen our purpose that God has for us, that's eternal life. We've seen our problem, and that is that we are sinners, and we can't get into heaven on our own because of our sin. We've seen God's provision in Jesus Christ. Now, what do I need to do about all this, preacher? Well, here is your response. Your response is to receive Jesus. Look there on that page. It says, we must repent of our sin. Acts 3:19 says, repent then and turn to God so that your sins may be wiped out. Repentance is not just feeling sorry for your sin. The Bible says in Acts 26:20, they should repent and turn to God and prove their repentance by their deeds. Repentance is turning to God through Jesus and away from our sin. It is like making a U-turn. Next page, we must place our faith in Jesus. Ephesians 2:8 says, for by grace you have been saved through faith. And this is not from yourselves, it is the gift of God. Faith is not believing facts about Jesus. The Bible says in James 2:19, you believe that there is one God, well good. Even the demons believe that and shudder. Believing facts about God won't get you into heaven. You need to have biblical faith. Biblical faith, it says there, is trusting in Jesus. It's like taking a trip on an airplane. You will never make the trip until you trust the plane enough to board it. Turn the page because there's three important questions on this next page. Does what you have been hearing make sense to you? Question number two. Is there any reason you would not be willing to receive God's gift of eternal life? Question number three. Are you willing to place your faith in Jesus right now and turn from your sin? The Bible says, everyone, not just some people, but everyone. You think of the worst person you possibly know. That's including in that statement, everyone. It doesn't matter what you did last night. Doesn't matter what you did last week, last year, 30 years ago. You're included in that everyone term. It says there, everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. What does that mean? It means this. You need to ask the Lord Jesus to save you. Now, turn the page, or the next page actually. I want you to read this prayer, and I want you to see if it says what you want to say to God. Now, you could pray another prayer, but this is a prayer that has been written to help you pray to God. Just like when you got married, you stood in front of the preacher, and he said, repeat after me. And so he said to the groom, repeat after me. And so he helped you say your vows to your bride. And he said to the bride, repeat after me. And so this is just the preacher, or this booklet, helping you to know what you need to say to be saved. And so I want you to see if this prayer right here says what you want to say to God. Look at it there with me. Let's just read it all together, okay? Dear God, I know that Jesus is your Son and that He died on the cross and was raised from the dead. I know I have sinned and need your forgiveness. I am willing to turn from my sins and receive Jesus as my Savior and Lord. Thank you for saving me. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, friend, I've got good news for you. If that is the first time you prayed a prayer like that and you meant it in your heart, God has saved you. And He has adopted you into His family. So let me be the first to say, welcome to God's family. Now there's something I want you to do with this track. I want you to turn all the way to the end of it. And about two pages from the end, there is a birth certificate. If you just prayed this prayer for the first time, you meant it in the depths of your heart, you've been born again. When you were born, you received a birth certificate. Well, this is a spiritual birth certificate. Do you see it there? It's headed at the top, Eternal Life Birth Certificate. I want you to find that. All right? And it quotes Luke 10:20, rejoice that your names have been written in heaven. Yeah, they've been written in the book of life that I talked about out of the book of Revelation. And then here where you can fill this in. If you prayed this prayer for the first time today, you could fill this in. I, Jimmy Patterson, received Jesus Christ as my Savior and Lord at, and it's 15 till 12, on May 15th, 2016. The person who shared Christ with me was Jimmy Patterson. Now I want you to look at this little verse underneath here. Actually, it's the words of Christ in Matthew 10:32. He says, whoever acknowledges me before men, I will also acknowledge him before my Father in heaven. You see, if you've really been born again, you need to be excited about it. And you need to want to tell others about it. And that's the reason I stand down here at the front each and every Sunday and have the people stand in the balcony in the back and the front to give you the opportunity to fulfill this verse. to confess Christ before men so that he might confess you before his Father who is in heaven. But that's just one way that you can confess Christ before men. I want you to turn back one page. You're at the birth certificate. Turn back one more page. This talks about learning to witness. Learning to witness is to a new Christian what talk is to a baby. Christ commands us to share the good news with others. You will be my witnesses, Acts 1:8. Now, I want you to think about this. Write the name of a person who you would be happy to learn about your decision for Christ. If you accepted Christ years and years ago, still there's people on your heart that you've been praying for that you could write their name there. Now, next thing. Write the name of the person who needs to receive Christ. Write it down right there. Then it says, will you tell them about your new life? I received Christ. If it was today for the first time, then you could tell them. Last Sunday, the preacher, boy, it was the strangest sermon. He just read a little booklet. That's all he did. And that's all you have to do. I mean, I just read the booklet. I just read this track. That's all you have to do. Or you could just leave this with someone. It is so simple that they could take it and read it themselves. But before you do that, on the back, make sure you write your name and where you go to church and how they can get in touch with you if you have any questions. Now, here's the invitation today. The invitation is for those who, for the first time today, prayed to receive Jesus as their Savior. I want you to bring your birth certificate down to the front. I'm going to be waiting for you right here, and I want to be able to rejoice with you. I want to be able to see it and just thank God as a witness to the fact that you were saved today. Maybe you still haven't filled it out and you need someone to help you fill it out. We've got encouragers here that can help you fill it out. So I want you to be the first to come down from the balcony, from the back, from the front, with your birth certificate. And boy, it's going to be great. We'll just rejoice with you. And then the other part of the invitation is for those who have already trusted Christ, but you've been praying about joining a church that preaches the gospel, that sings the gospel, that tells people about the love of Jesus. Maybe God is calling you to become a part of this church. We would rejoice for you to be added to this church. And then the third part of this invitation has to do with what I just told you about. Some of you have a deep burden right now for someone who is lost. They might be sitting in this building right now. You could come to this altar, and you could kneel at this altar and you could pray for this person with this track in your hand and the name that you've already written there and say, dear God, help my friend trust you as their Savior and as their Lord. Many, many decisions that need to be made today. And I pray that God will give you the grace and the strength to do it as we bow our heads right now. Father, we thank you so much for Jesus. We thank you for this opportunity now to joyfully express our faith in you. Father, for those that have been saved for the first time, I pray that you would encourage them to step out and say they're not ashamed of you. Father, for those that need a church that preaches the gospel and teaches the gospel, we pray that you would lead and guide them. And Father, for those that have a deep burden in their heart for a family member, a friend, a classmate, a neighbor, a co-worker who does not know you, Father, today we pray that you would give them the strength to pray for that friend. And we ask this all in the matchless name of Jesus. Amen.